Rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Mark Snyder said he'd be late. He's been called back to work. So he'll be in as soon as he's done with that call, unless he gets another one, I guess. And the next on the agenda is citizen input. So if there's anybody that'd like to address the council on council matters, please raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you. You can come up to the podium and give us your name and address, and you have up to 5 minutes. Okay. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Dan?
Second.
Charles seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? All right, that passes. Okay, consent agenda. Do I hear a motion on that?
So moved.
Seconded. Okay. Charles is first. Okay, and then Ken Kaler second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then. Okay, ordinance amending OMC chapter 4.04 entitled Business License. Debbie?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Attached to your agenda memo is a letter from the Ocala Crane Festival co-chairman and a proposed ordinance to amend exemptions in the business licensing code. The proposed ordinance adds one section to the business license exemption code to exempt artists, crafters, and authors who are invited to sell their work as part of an event sponsored by a registered nonprofit or for-profit organization. We already had exemptions for people making casual sales at a flea market, rummage sale, yard, or garage sale, or bazaar. We give those all on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. The original request came from the Samuel Crane Festival organizers in an attempt to get more artists and authors to be at the festivals. This will also make it more clear, or very clear, that we exempt artists and crafters that sell their merchandise also at the Christmas bazaar that's held inside the city limits. We already had in the code exempting persons making casual sales. I already said that. Sorry about that. But if somebody was to come in and set up a festival and it was for a for-profit business that was conducting the festival, they would have to comply with the business license codes and zoning codes, such as the radio station that used to host the Mother's Day Festival. They used to have to apply for a business license when they were doing that. But for instance, the American Fiesta Amistad is nonprofit and they do not have to purchase a business license, although the mobile vendors and the retailers would need to purchase the business license or apply for a business license. So tonight we're asking you to adopt the ordinance amending sections of 4.04, 050 of the Ocala Municipal Code Chapter 4.04 entitled Business Licenses, which deals with the exemptions for business license within the city limits.
Questions for Debbie? Yes. Go ahead.
Just to be clear, so Fiesta Amistad comes in, they don't have to have a business license put on their festival. But say we have two booths there. One is a merchant selling toys for profit, and the other one is the something-something church, a nonprofit selling tostados. What's the status on those vendors?
The merchant selling toys is doing retail sales. They do need to apply for a business license. And they can do an annual business license, or if it's like for half a year, Any nonprofit organizations do not have to apply for a business license.
Okay. Any more questions? So I do hear a motion to adopt an ordinance amending section 4.04.050 of the Othello Municipal Code, chapter 4.04, entitled Business Licenses.
I so moved.
Okay, Ken?
Second.
Okay, Ken Johnson second. Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Ordinance, where am I at here? Ordinance relevant to securing vehicles. Chief Dennegan? Question?
Yes.
I do too.
Go ahead.
When it says in secure place locked, do you mean like behind a locked gate, or can I go start my car to thaw it out and lock the car itself and then go back in the house?
No, it would have to be in a secured place. You cannot leave keys in a car and leave it running, because all it takes is one window broken and then they drive away with your car. If you leave your key in your car when you pull into your garage, which a lot of people do, that's not a problem. Or behind your fence yard, some people park in their backyards, that's fine, not a problem. If you have automatic car starter, not a problem, because the key is not in the car. There's no difference in your scenario than leaving it unlocked and going out and starting to warm it up. That's where we have the problems. You go out, you start your car, you let it warm up, you go back in the house and have your oatmeal or whatever, you come back out, the car's gone.
Yeah, but if I lock it, no.
It's called a spark plug. Click, the window breaks. You don't even hear it.
You could get a ticket.
To me, I appreciate the direction that you want to head with it, but I think we're going after the wrong element. I think we should be educating the public first and not trying to punish them.
We're not trying to punish them. This is all part and parcel of a bigger program that I'll get to in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But what we'll have, what we have to do is we have to pass this ordinance, and then we've made up this brochure explaining the problems, the issues, what to do. This will be given to motorists in a particular area where our crime rate is particularly high with this crime. We will be going door to door, leaving these on the vehicles. Plus, we will be advertising in the theater. You know how they roll those little advertisements there between movies. We're going to be doing that. We're also partnering with local insurance companies. First one that we have to step up is Sloan Levy Insurance and Agency.
And to me, I think education should come first before this ordinance.
We're going to do it all together, all at once. That doesn't mean you're going to go out and get a ticket, okay? But if you leave your car running in your driveway and somebody drives off with it and steals it, you're going to get a ticket for leaving the keys.
And to me, the punishment is going to be when that person has to deal with their insurance company, because I believe when you get your policies, you're supposed to secure that vehicle.
The punishment comes to all of us, because every time that a car is stolen, all your collision rates and theft rates are all based on the numbers. So every time somebody steals a car, that affects my insurance, your insurance, society's insurance rates altogether.
I just think we have a lot bigger fish to fry than people who keep their car.
We're not trying to fry that fish. We're trying to fry the people.
I'm just saying we have other issues that should be priority on our list than looking for people with keys and leaving
their cars. We're not going to be out actively looking for keys in cars. But if the circumstances indicate to us and show us through investigation or whatever, you run the risk of getting a ticket.
I would rather educate the community first. I'm 100% with Ken.
I said that I fully appreciate what you're trying to do.
Because I had a car stolen. I had one
taken this weekend. We had a truck stolen from a glass shop. And I'll say the keys were in it, but they were hid in it. And they were it was rummaged through, they were found.
But here's the catch. And I have learned this over years because we own a lot of trucks over the years. And this is what happens. If a thief's going to steal a vehicle, he's going to steal it whether it has the keys in it or not. That's just the way life is. They're gonna see, it's like the old theory. Do I lock my truck doors because they see something of value in it? So they break my window, which cost me more than the damn stereo that was in it. You know, that's the problem. A thief is gonna be a thief. And I'm not saying go fight it by any means, but I think we educate people in our community, or at least try a little bit before we tell them, hey, you know what? If you go out and you start your car, why don't you do it all the time? I'm ratting you out. So.
I'm taking the fifth.
I'm fortunate. I start mine with the push button. But
this has been in the newspaper. We have tried it in the newspaper. We put it on the radio and the Hispanic radio to get the information out. To a certain extent, you're absolutely correct. Thieves will be thieves. However, we're not talking sophisticated thieves who want to hop on cars like you're insinuating. We're talking about 14, 15-year-old kid that's walking to school and sees a running car on the street with keys in it and decides that it would be much easier to steal a car. And you go off and spend the day in Tri-Cities or somewhere else. The last car that was stolen out of a hotel was recovered in Pasco. It was being driven by four 14-year-olds, two girls, two boys, and they were all smoked slick. So the problem is bigger than organized thieves who are out to make a buck. This is simple joyriding and opportunistic, that's what I'm trying to say, thefts that we're making too easy for people to find. We don't want you to leave bad valuables in the car. You know, if you leave a purse in, or you leave a stereo out, or a wallet, or cash in the console, they will break your windows and take, and then they run off, and then go buy candy. So again, we're dealing with a juvenile problem here, not adults, and not sophisticated thieves. However, with the public education that we are doing, and it is very aggressive to see a police department going out door to door, knocking on people's doors,
explaining the issues and giving them information and advertising in the theater to start this problem. We want to be able to have an enforcement tool to help us out with it, and that is the purpose. It's not to go around, we're not going to be going around and looking in cars to see if your keys are there. However, if the circumstances do arise and we find out about it, then we could take enforcement action.
In case of insurance, you leave your car unlocked, that was running, somebody steals it, gets in an accident, gets hurt. The person who owns the car then has provided an attractive nuisance for somebody to take. So theoretically, the person who left the keys in the car and left it running created a possibility for somebody to get hurt. Now, on the other side of it, the fact that I don't know if that happens or not, but I know of instances in farm machinery that it's sitting out in the field, somebody takes it, the guy's responsible for it because they can start it. If the car is sitting there, you might want to take a look at the fact that you might be responsible for whatever happens to that person that took the car because you created an attractive nuisance for that person. And when somebody walks down the street, you know, hey, car's running, man, that's a warm ride to school. It's cold. I don't know. I understand your point. You know, and Ken's also.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just throw it out there just a little bit slower. You tell them this is it. You know, here's cold, like it. You know, that's what I'm going to say. At least let the community have some type of option in this deal. I mean, if it's coming, it's coming. It doesn't mean it has to come tonight. You know, that's what I'm saying. Give them at least a chance to, okay, this is going to be a little bit different in life than saying, hey, here you go. I'm one opinion. You know, that's one view. I'll tell you right now, I'll call every time Mark's picking up.
Mr. Olson is bound to rent a storage area, empty your garage so you can put your car in there.
That would work.
It's going to be his response.
So, Chief, we haven't really had any.
Okay. I understand the ordinance needs teeth. It needs some kind of enforcement act. There's too many ordinances a lot of times that are passed, and there's no way to enforce them because they have no teeth. But is there any way that we can make this? Not retroactive, active in the future to the point where you can get that information out and then it takes effect?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. You could put an effective date, you could put a sunset clause on it if you wanted to. But again, we'll get into this. You gotta understand, what we're trying to do is make a full-blown, logical program designed to reduce the victimization that people are suffering. And it's just like padlocks keep honest people honest. Laws keep honest people in law in honest as well. If you understand what I mean. Currently, if you left your car marked out on a public street and somebody drives away with it, you could get a ticket under state law. So there is already state law, and there are many ordinances out there that are allowing officers to carry that a little bit farther to take care of these people that start their cars that are parked on their lawns, or in their driveways, or in front of the dentist office. All those areas are problem areas. Shopping malls. You leave your keys in the car and you go into Walmart and you go shopping, and you come out, your car is gone. Somebody walked by and saw the keys there. So this is not, we're not asking you to pass an ordinance that we're just going to run right out and write a bunch of tickets. We're asking you to pass an ordinance so that it's on the books, that we have something to work with, so that when we go telling people, not only could you lose your car, not only did we lose 61% to keys, but there's also an ordinance that prohibits you from doing that. So please, take your car, keys, and your valuable car. That's all we're asking.
To me, so, it's taking a victim and turning them into a criminal. because he forgot his keys in the car.
We have plenty of ordinances on the books right now that do that, and also graffiti as well. That if you don't take graffiti off your wall, we can give you a criminal citation or civil citation for not taking graffiti off. So nobody likes that idea of turning a victim into a victim twice. However, if laws help people and regulate people into making good habits, then we have to do that.
You know, I have to believe the community and the people are going to look at this in a strange way. They're going to say, we ask for addressing crime issues, we get keys in the car. You know, they're still on that. You know, that's out there.
I understand that. What part of crime don't you see in stolen vehicles? $250,000 loss in 2009.
I understand that, but the normal person isn't going to look at it like you and I. The average Joe that pays taxes in this community, that goes to work every day, blue-collar worker, is going to say, well, that's really nice. Instead of somebody shooting outside my neighborhood or painting on my fence, or I'm getting, you know, now I have another. I think if you want the community to buy into this, you're going to have to sell it a little bit. A little bit. I'm not asking you to move mountains. I'm not. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. 100%. I think it's a good idea in the long run. I just think we're taking a kid I've got to write about. I mean, I have a tough time. If I wanted to leave my pickup on in my driveway, I can't. That's tough for me. You know, not my driveway. I pay for that driveway. I pay, you know, my house payment and my property taxes and whatever. So it's tough when people tell you can't do something. And we're telling people, whether we're going to enforce it tomorrow, next month, next year, we're telling people that this is what's going to happen to you. And right now, I don't think our community wants to be told that they can't do something else immediately. I just don't see it. I see a lot of them frustrated in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of unhappy people in this town. And part of it is because we're trying to make our road better, and they hate every one of us because it's all our fault. You know, they were naive like Mark and thought it was going to be done in 8 weeks. So, you know, that's just where I stand. I do not think it's a bad. I mean, in the long run, I don't. But my point of view is I wish you could sell it a little bit.
I've had it in the newspaper, and it's been on the radio, and it didn't do anything. We started that in 2008. We have begged, and we have pleaded with people to take their valuables out of their cars. We have set up overtime directed patrols to reduce the number of car crowds and car break-ins. That is successful to the point. We've done that. We've proved that. And that's why we're going forward with this one, because we want this one to be just as successful in reducing the number of cars that are stolen from the town. We want to prevent crime, but we have to have the tools to be able to do that. And it has to be a complete set of tools, not just part. So that's my spiel. Thank you very much.
I guess, do I hear a motion to pass this ordinance making it a civil infraction to leave keys in a vehicle? Okay.
I could make a motion to that, but I would like to see the full force and effective, something besides 5 days. I mean, 60 days or January 1st, 2011. Or something like that. So you give people time to get used to the fact that you're going to do that. And in the meantime, if they don't do it, just write them a little, you know, a warning ticket or whatever it is, and say at such and such a time, you will. But, you know, and as far as somebody else's property, that goes to the same kind of thing where you can park any number of vehicles you want to in a front yard, and you can leave dirty and dusty and old cars sitting out front, and you run into that same argument all the time. And I understand, yeah, you know, I got my pickups parked in my driveway all the time, but I lock it. I come from the age when you pulled into the driveway, got out of the car, and went in the house. You shut it off and went in. You got up in the morning, you walked out the car, you started the car and went off. You didn't have to worry about keys because you didn't have to worry about them in your pocket. You never lost them because they were in the car, but that doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, if I would be willing to make a motion if we put it off for minimum 60 days or until the 1st of January, I would make that motion.
I agree, and I think it'll still give you the tools you need, but it just gives the public a little warning to get used to it so that they're not over.
So we're having a motion, Dan, from you, stating that you moved to pass an ordinance making a civil infraction to leave keys in a car in a vehicle starting January 1st,
yeah, effective 2011. Date in full force and effective January 1st, 2011.
Okay.
That's your motion.
Continue with what you're doing. It will continue the program whether you pass the ordinance or not, because we're committed to preventing crimes and being able to one-stop car thefts. You know, these kids go out and they run from the police and they crash into people and they kill people and they kill themselves. It's a serious problem. And we want to stop.
Okay, so I have a motion. I have a motion through Dan as a first. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Gina's a second. Any more discussion?
I want to add one more thing here. I've been sitting here thinking about this on both sides of the fence. I can see your point, and I can see why it needs to be done probably quickly, but I do think we need to educate the people a little more before we slam it right out of them and say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. So I kind of agree with Dan and Gina on this, to delay it for a short period of time. You take your study or whatever and teach the people what we need to do, and then we'll take it to there. If we don't like what we're hearing out there, we may come back and say, hey, we're not going to do this. But right now, I think that might be the best way to do it, is go ahead and wait till the 1st of January, give you a chance to take your shot at it and educate the people, and then steer around from there.
Any more discussion?
Mayor, I was wrong when I indicated to the chief the penalty was 180. It's not less than 210, is what our code says for C8.
Not less than 210.
Not less than $210.
Okay. Thank you.
It's getting more expensive all the time.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any more discussion?
And for the discussion, I would suggest, you know, that the police department print up a little notice that says, you know, stick it in the windshield if nobody's around. It says, if this happens after January 1st, you will get a ticket. It will be $210.
We already have that.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. All
right. I'm going to vote no tonight because we have time to ponder it. I'm on the fence. I read in the paper where Kennewick gives the citations for that, and then I go out and start my car because it's all frosted up. So I'd like to ponder it more, and we have plenty of time to pass it before January 1st. So only on that basis am I going to vote no tonight.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you.
I also am going to vote no tonight, not because I do not.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I understand where these two guys are coming from. And three.
Can you speak up, Dan?
With the permission of the second, I remove the motion from the table and in place move that we table it until the next workshop meeting that can be discussed.
Okay. That's second one. You want to remove the motion too? Did we do that right, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And okay. Chief, I would like to know more about your aggressive approach that you said that you're going to take in the new program that you're going to outline. What's it? I just don't see this tonight. I would like to know more about, you said there's a big picture. I'd like to know about that big picture before I start putting infractions on it.
Well, it's all right here. It's all laid out in this brochure. And we want, you know, this, like I said, we have officers that are going to be doing and delivering these door-to-door and talking to people in the problem area.
regard for the Don and the Hispanic radio spots to get this, to get people to take their valuable keys out of their cars.
Can we put those in the city bills?
In the city bills?
Yeah.
Yes?
I appreciate that idea, but this is something that we want to do face to face with people.
I realize that, but Chief, you're going to get a lot of people that open their city bill. If not, they don't have fire. and it's going to help you. So, I mean, I would like to help you inform the community.
Thanks for that suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
maybe
I guess.
Maybe we'll do that in the non-problem areas.
Does it take a motion to table that?
So do I hear a motion to table?
Yeah, I move to table it.
Okay.
No,
okay, all in favor of tabling the motion? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose the same. Okay.
Move on.
We'll move to the next one. Why don't you get us that paper, Chief?
Yeah, see, we haven't seen that brochure.
Oh, is he going to put something up? Oh, okay, this is the next one.
All right, just a quick update on some of the programs that you already know about that we're doing. You already know about the trespass program. That's being met with very positive interest. We've had several local businesses sign up. Signs are being ordered. I also talked to a local sign maker and gave that person the specifications for the sign and how it's supposed to be on those signs, so that if a person wants to order signs from them, they can. So that's all going well. And again, this is officers. We have officers who are going out meeting with the business owners, explaining the program, providing the paperwork and the sign orders, ordering forms as well. We offered a Citizen Academy again this year, and that's what's coming up here real soon. We've only been able to put together one since I've been here, and we're going to have to cancel the one for this year due to lack of interest. I know, yeah, I'm sorry that we didn't get people signed up, but the public is not responsive to learning about the criminal justice system that we offer. Senior Check Program, that's a program that's designed to contact the elderly. We make a phone call to them daily through our dispatch center just to check on them, see if they're doing okay, if they're old, we can get to the phone. We have a lot of elderly folks who are kind of shut-ins. They don't have relatives here, and so they're left to their own means. Every once in a while, we'll get a phone call for somebody who's fallen in their laundry room or something. So we're trying to kind of prohibit that or prevent that from happening as often. We've got a couple people that are talking, not a whole lot of interest yet. The Explorer program, we put an advertisement in the paper. Actually, the paper put it in the paper for us. We wanted a quote. They thought we wanted it, so they put it in the paper. So they don't even know that. That's in there. Our reserve program, the mayor was interested in the reserve program. We still talk to people about that, but we don't have any applicants. The problem with reserves is that a citizen comes and wants to be a reserve police officer. He has to pass the same tests that we do as commissioned officers, and then there's a huge time commitment. It's about a 14-week academy where we're going two nights a week plus Saturdays. So there's a lot of time involved in that. So if you're working, you're on shift work or whatever, it's very tough to be able to meet those requirements. So that's probably why we don't have a whole lot of reserves right now. Just talking about the car theft reduction program, volunteer program, we still have two volunteers. They work on Wednesdays. They come in and do all of our fingerprinting. We do all the fingerprints for the school district, applicants, child daycares, those kinds of things. That all happens on Wednesday through our volunteer program. We also started GRATE today in McFarland Middle School. It is gang resistance education and training. It started today. The SRO, Ramon Mayor, will be teaching two classes per day, 5 days a week, every other week, for a total of 14 weeks. Each class will get 14 individual lessons. So that is quite a commitment as well. George Warris, the superintendent of schools, as well as the principal and vice principal at McFarland Junior High School, were very anxious to get the program, and they were very accommodating to make sure and facilitate that we could get that program in. So right now it's being taught in sixth grade during their social, during one of their social studies hours. So that's where we're at right now. And kind of wanted to, with all that in mind, I wanted to kind of explain to you the crime triangle. Anybody ever heard of that? This is a lot of how we solve problems and how we come up with some of these programs designed to reduce crime and disorder. Okay, Penny. The crime triangle assumes that in order to have a crime, offenders and targets have to come together basically at the same space and time. Make sense? You have to have a victim, you have to have an offender, and you have to have a place where they meet. Right? Pretty elementary. So if you look on the sides, there's three sides to a triangle. You have a handler, offender, crime in the center. You have manager or place. And then at the bottom, you have a guardian or target or victim. Okay? So when we look at the crime problem, we stick that right in the middle. And then we say, okay, who can help us reduce this crime or this disorder more than anybody else? And we'll pick somebody. If it's a place that is causing the problem, we'll go to the manager of the place and work with the manager or design a program to help them eliminate the place where the crime is happening. That could be as simple as going to an apartment manager and saying, hey, you need to light up your parking lot because of all of these muggings or assaults that are happening in your parking lot with lights, maybe some cameras that will reduce that. So then we've attacked the problem at the manager or the place. If we know of a lot of victims, okay, we can work with victims to try to reduce their numbers so that we actually reduce the victimization through the crime, i.e. the car theft program. We know that there's a lot of victims out there, and we're gonna work with those victims to try to get it to reduce that. Therefore, if we can, then we don't have the same number of victims. Handlers work with the offenders. Handlers are probation officers, or the juvenile probation officers, adult probation officers. You know, we don't have an adult probation officer. That's one handler kind of out of that side. But there could be a lot of other people that might go and fit that bill. But they deal with the offenders. So it's like sex offenders. Okay, they have to register. Sheriff's Department keeps that registry. Once a year, we go around and we go down the list and we go and verify their record and knock on the door. So we're acting as handlers with those offenders by checking on them and making sure they're following the law. So by reducing their activity, then we've eliminated that side of the triangle. Okay, next one. So the triangle, the crime triangle, is a lot like a fire triangle. You need three things to have a fire. You need oxygen, you need heat, and you need fuel. If you take away one side of that triangle, you won't have a fire. And that's what we look at with the crime triangle. If we can eliminate one side of that triangle, then we don't have that crime problem anymore. Go ahead. To eliminate crime or disorder, one of the sides of the triangle has to be removed. To remove the side, we utilize resources that have the most effect or authority. Again, that offender, that relationship. Guardians or police, they can be teachers, neighbors, relatives, and they protect and look out for the victim or potential victims. Go ahead with the next one. Handlers can be police, adult probation, that's unavailable in Adams County, Department of Corrections, juvenile probation, and they control the activities of the offender to try to eliminate the offender from going out to do more crimes. Go ahead. Managers, apartment managers, store managers, Public Works, Parks Department, private property, school authorities. All those people have some authority over a place where crime is being committed. So we can work with those and to try to eliminate whatever is nice about that particular place where crime happens. Okay, does that make sense? So, go ahead. We can use the crime problem, which crime triangle to solve the problem. We can solve crime, we can solve incident or behavior. We determine which side to attack, and then who can have the impact, and we work on a solution, we implement it, and then we evaluate it at the end. That's pretty much it. That's how we do that. Okay?
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay. Proclamation. Jump starts Read for the Recovery Record Day. Whereas children are born ready to learn, and whereas the concept of emergent literacy suggests that the development of literacy takes place within the child beginning at birth and emerges over time through the child's interaction with oral and written language, and whereas each year one in three children in the U.S. enters kindergarten lacking the basic skills he or she needs to be successful, and whereas for 16 years the nonprofit organization Jumpstart for Young Children has offered a proven solution to this problem by pairing a caring and trained mentor with an at-risk preschool child one-to-one for a year to build critical language, literacy, social, and interactive skills. And whereas this simple yet powerful model prepares children to learn, encourages families to get involved with their children's learning, and inspires adults to become teachers and child advocates. And whereas in 2010 alone, Jumpstart will prepare nearly 15,000 children for kindergarten, making it the largest such organization in America. And whereas Jumpstart and its corporate partners, Pearson, Penguin, 77 Kids, and Bright Horizons, have launched a public and private partnership to create the largest shared reading experience ever. And on October 7, 2010, the break Jumpstart's own world record for the most children reading with an adult on the same day. And whereas the children's classic, The Snowy Day, will serve as the official campaign book, and a custom edition has been created to include proven Jumpstart reading techniques for adults to read with a young child. And whereas through Jumpstart's Reading for the Record campaign, this public-private partnership will build awareness of America's school readiness crisis. Readiness crisis, and provide tangible research-based tools and opportunities for participating in a solution to this crisis. And whereas schools, libraries, and community organizations across the United States will participate in an activity that support Jumpstart Read for the Record. Now therefore, I, Tim Wilson, Mayor of the City of Othello, do hereby proclaim October 7, 2010 as Jumpstart's Read for the Record Day, and ask our citizens to read The Snowy Day to a child on October 7th. Okay, thank you. Unfinished business. New business? Mark?
Now's the time where I realize we're in the middle of negotiations and we're gonna start budgeting for next year. And we're have the difficult task of determining what appropriate wage increases are. And I'd like to read portions of this article to give you a baseline of where I feel they should be. This is an article that was a couple weeks ago in the Seattle Times. It says, rise in minimum wage again unlikely for state. The 2007 to 2009 recession and the weak recovery since have banished inflation, and high unemployment is keeping a lid on wage pressures. Since August 2009, prices have risen a modest 1.1% nationally and 0.2% in the Seattle area. Core inflation is up 0.9% nationally. Based on the inflation numbers released Friday, Washington State's minimum wage likely will not increase. So that's my baseline for any wages for our city employees, salaried, hourly, whatever. Our lowest wage earners are not getting an increase.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay. This meeting is adjourned.
Mayor, do you have
someone else? Oh, that's right. Thank you. Okay. The next Teamster Union Negotiating Committee meeting is scheduled for September 29th, 2010 at 9 o'clock. So that's Kaler, Darrow, and Deaver. You'll need to be there at 8:30 for a meeting, half-hour meeting ahead of time. Please prepare to meet till at least 12 o'clock. The second biannual meeting of the Adams County Fire District Number 5 will be held on Tuesday, October 12th, during the regular commissioner meeting at the fire station at 7. So what's that? Mark? Who else?
Mark.
Yeah. Somebody else. I don't remember.
They each got into the 11.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, we got it.
Financial materials for the October 4th workshop are on your desk in this nice yellow envelope. The rest of the agenda items are on the board docs in your computer. Remember, our next meeting is at the 14th Avenue Clinic at 6 p.m. Use the south entrance. So everybody remember that? And then the Community Gang Prevention Forum. You probably saw something in your packet there. Will be held at the Othello High School corridor on Thursday, September 30th from 6 to 9. And if you need more information, please refer to the flyer in your packets. And thank you. This meeting adjourned.
Okay. Tim Stubbs, Green Bay.